Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel. I'll be joined with Rabbi David Aaron after the break. There are times in life where we really feel connected to God. We sense God. We feel God. We really feel like God's presence is revealed to us. And then there are times where we really feel like God is hidden from us. Usually I think it corresponds to when things are going positive and well in our lives. And we really sense how maybe God is helping us work the pieces out in our lives to be just so in a positive direction that we really have that sense of God being with us. And then there are times where I would say, again, it's the times where maybe feels like life isn't going so well. Challenge after challenge. How are all these bad things or challenging things happening in my life? Where is God? Why can't I connect to him? If anything, those might be the times I need to connect him even more. And yet it's hard to really sense God's presence in my life. And this is true on an individual level. It's also true on a national level. There've been times in our history where God really has revealed himself through natural wonders and miracles. God has talked to man. We had prophets who had this clear connection to God and God's message of what God wanted from us. And now we live in this time we refer to as Hester Panim, a time of God, so to speak, hiding his face, a time where God is, on a national level, more hidden. Now, that's not to say there aren't times where we open up our eyes and we really can sense God's presence in the world and through history and in our nation. That definitely is the case. But I would say that more so than in historical times where, again, there were more open miracles, it was direct, so to speak, communication with God and his will, we live in a time where we really have to much more seek out this connection to God, this presence of God. We really have to work more on really seeing God in our lives, in history. So the question I have is, when we are going through these difficult times, these dark times, God is here whether we sense him or not. And we are much better off when we can connect to God, to his mission, to his purpose, to the godliness within us, within ourselves. But when it does become difficult, when we're going through times that are challenging, how can we more easily connect to God? How can we sense God? Why is it that there are times where God is more revealed? And why is it that there are times when God is more concealed? And is there a way when God, so to speak, is more concealed that we can, even within ourselves, reveal that sense of godliness, the clarity, the positivity, the goodness, the charity of God within our lives? And this is what I want to ask the rabbi about when we return to Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel. How can we sense with clarity God, especially in times when there is darkness, where it's harder to sense, feel, and see his presence?
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron. Rabbi Aaron, there have been times in history where God's revelation has been very clear and very obvious. And then there are times, like I would say the times we live in, where it's just hard to sense that God is here. Intellectually, we may understand it. If we open up our eyes, we see it and sense it. And yet there is even a term that's called Hester Panim. It's like God's face is hidden. It's just hard to sense and to feel and to see, so to speak, the presence of God in the world, because on a national level, on a historical level, there's times where just so many terrible things are happening that it's like, where is God when all this is going on? And again, even in our personal lives, there's times where we really sense God is with us. I think I'd say usually that's when things seem to be going well. We like to say, wow, it was divine providence that something positive happened in my life and that all sorts of circumstances just came together just so that something worked out, that it's miraculous the way it worked out. But then there's times where it's just, it's hard to sense, where is God? Why is this going on in my life? If God is with me and is here, why would I be in so much pain? So when we're going through these times, and in fact, we're in a time period of this 3-week time period as we're leading up to the morning of the destruction of the temple, that I would say is very representative of this concept of Hester Panim, of not, it may be much harder to really sense God's presence in the world, in our lives. So when we're in this large period of having difficulty, again, sensing God's presence, how can we more clearly see God or connect to God, especially when it can be so difficult?
Great. Yeah, very apropos for what we're going through right now. I think it goes back to defining what do we mean when we say God's presence, and what do we expect to see? Because I think normally, but in general, God's presence is identified with things are going well, as you mentioned before. If things are going well, then there must be a God. If things are not going well, how could there be a God? But if I understand that, according to Judaism, and this is what we should understand, that we've come to this world to make choices, bold, courageous choices. Well, then, when things are really going well, there's not too many choices to be made. Things are going well. You know, when people have lots of money, well, so it shouldn't be so hard to choose to give charity, although it could be hard. But when people are not as flowing with the cash, and they choose to nonetheless be helpful to those who have less, well, that's an amazing act of kindness. The presence of God, as we've talked about many times before, all the attributes of God are not really of God, but rather God is manifest as these attributes. If I were to say that God has the attribute of kindness, that would mean that there's God, and super added to the divine essence is a quality called kindness, which would then be indicating that there's some kind of plurality in the divine, which absolutely Judaism will not accept. Judaism says God is not only one God, but internally, so to speak, a simple oneness. And so Judaism actually, in its deeper teachings, will distinguish and clarify that God isn't a being who has kindness, but rather is kindness. And we are in this world to bring the presence of God into the world. So when a person chooses to do kindness, they're bringing God into the world. When a person chooses to be honest, since God is the manifestation of truth, then you're bringing God into the world. And so what appears to us as Hester Panim, the hiding of God's face, is actually creating an opportunity for an even greater revelation of the presence of God that comes into the world through our choices. So in a time like this, where I would say many, many people are very, very stressed, and in a state of stress, it's so much easier to get angry, you know, to lose one's cool, to become impatient, to say inappropriate things to the people around us. If in this time where what we were hoping represented the presence of God is now hidden, that actually creates an opportunity for an even heightened manifestation of the presence of God, which is manifest through the choices that we make in these challenging times.
You know, it is so interesting, because I would have thought that when God is more, there's more full revelation of God, his presence, his goodness, etc., that we would consider that to be a more ideal state. But in a sense, when you're saying that we're here to make choices, and I think we can all understand it is true that choices mean more when there's some challenge, some resistance towards making them, then in a sense, it almost sounds like, would we say that there is a certain higher level that we can achieve when God is, so to speak, more hidden, because the choices and the resistance to making those choices is much stronger?
Well, actually, that is what's called Tzimtzum. The Tzimtzum doctrine of the Kabbalah is that God hid his omnipresence, and that allowed for the emergence of the sense of human self and the possibility of making choices. If God's presence was so obvious, we would be completely paralyzed. How could, you know, if the king is standing right in front of me, am I going to do something against his will? There's just no way I would have any ability to make a choice or to even know what I want, because that's not important, since he's standing right here. I obviously must do what he wants. And therefore, the very setting that enabled the emergence of creation and you and I to play a role in life and make choices and feel that we can contribute in some way is precisely the hiding of God's omnipresence. Mm. So the hiding of the presence creates an opportunity for a higher presence, or let's say a new kind of presence, which is the presence of God that is manifest through us, through our choices.
So then, as much as we might decry God, why are you hiding? It sounds like what you're saying is that it's actually up to us to reveal God. Because when we make certain choices, like if I choose to be honest and that's representative of God, that's revealing God, then my behavior is revealing God. And when I'm not making choices that are in line with the attributes of God, then I'm the one who's hiding God. Meaning, is it true that we're the one who either reveals or hides God, as opposed to God revealing or hiding himself?
Well, yes and no. The yes part is the way God creates the world is by concealing his omnipresence. And then what, you know, like the example I would give is we are to God. It's not mine. It's actually from the Bala Tanya, from the Tanya of the Chabad Hasidic teachings. We are to God like a ray of light is to the sun. The ray of light is a part of the sun, but the ray of light that we're talking about is still in the sun. So when you see a ray of light of the sun, it has presence. You see it in your room. You realize that ray of light goes all the way back to the sun. But imagine that ray of light while still in the sun, prior to its emanating from the sun, it would be nullified. It would have really non-presence, just like a tree in the seed. Is it there? It's not there. It's certainly not there in the form of a tree. And if you take a microscope, you're never going to find the tree inside that seed, but somehow it emanated out of the seed. So this light, this beam of light in your room, at some point, so to speak, was in the sun prior to its being emanated, but in the sun, it has the status of non-being. And the way this ray of light becomes, has being or emerges into being is by the sun, so to speak, concealing his omnipresence that surrounds and permeates this little light beam, and then the light beam emerges. I actually have an animation on this in YouTube, and I kind of use an example of a ray of light and sunglasses. The sun puts sunglasses on the ray of light, which enables the ray of light to experience its sense of self in the presence of the sun. Mm-hmm. And so that's the God intentionally hiding his presence, which enabled us to emerge and into presence. We now are present when God hides his presence. But now in light of that, or not in light of that, in the darkness of that, in the space of that hiddenness, we can make choices. And our choices will either increase our awareness of God's presence, which is really increasing functionally God's presence in our life, or our behavior could continue to cause even greater concealment of God's presence. And that is really what commandments do, in a kind of understanding it in kind of the sense of the science of consciousness. When a person speaks bad about another person, they clearly do not recognize that God is present in the world, because if you did, you wouldn't say those kind of things. So you've now caused the presence of God to become more concealed. But when you, see a person who needs money and you say, of course I would help that person. Well, that was a moment where you obviously are under the influence of the awareness of God, because why would a perfect stranger take care of another perfect stranger? Unless I had God consciousness that unites the two of us together as children of the same father, or more metaphysically, two rays of light emanating from the same source.
It is so amazing, though, that meaning, that I guess it's important to understand that our mission here is to reveal godliness in the world, and understanding that mitzvot, the commandments of God and midot, the following characteristics of God, are really the method and the way in which we can reveal godliness in the world. And we think once we've spoken about the idea that sometimes we think, oh, is God just making these, they're not demands, they're commands, which actually makes sense. We're working on this together, but it's not just God sitting up there in the sky saying, it's like, you know, like the dictator, this is what I expect of you. But it's more about this partnership of revelation of God, and that it, ultimately for God to be revealed in the world, we need a partnership, because it's our choices that then reveal God and bring God into the world. And again, it is this amazing partnership that we are gifted by God pulling himself back to make room for us and our choices. When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar? She's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things. But at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Hello and welcome back to Soul Talk, Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron. Getting clarity on the concept of Hester Panim, a time period we're living in where it really seems as though God's face is hidden. It's harder to sense God, to feel God. And in a sense, I would have thought that there's a certain lack, it would be much more ideal to really clearly see and sense God. And yet, Rabbi, as you've been explaining, is that the more God is hidden, the more space we have for having free choice, for making choices of revealing God in the world, which is ultimately what we are here for. Now, a question I have, especially we're talking about this time period that we're living in, is very much God is so to speak, more hidden. Historically, especially we look at the beginning of time, God was much more revealed. God spoke to Adam and Eve, meaning there actually was that connection. Throughout time, there was also this concept of prophecy. Even if God wasn't speaking to every individual, there was a much more open revelation of godliness in the world. We talk about the times of open miracles, which we don't have nowadays, with the Exodus from Egypt, with the 10 plagues and the splitting of the sea. The giving of the Torah was a very powerful experience. So how do we understand that it almost seems that earlier on in history, there was much more revelation of, so to speak, the obviousness of God. And then as we've come on throughout, you know, later on in time, we don't have those kinds of experiences. Why has that changed over time?
Well, it's important to point out that when God's presence was so obvious in the desert, it's not like we didn't have a lot of drama and a lot of, you know, resistance, which is strange. You know, we've got, this is really very much the nature of the stories in the book that we're reading from now, which is Bamidbar. And in the book of Midbar, we have a lot of very difficult stories of the rebellious, the people rebelling. And, you know, we're not going to go into details who instigated these rebellions and how many of the people were rebelling. But nonetheless, it still presents us an interesting situation where the Jewish people are surrounded by miracles. The manna, the bread is coming from the sky and water is flowing out of a rock. And they're embraced by these mysterious clouds. And yet there still seems to be unrest. And that's because it's kind of like a little child who is very much wanting to establish his sense of self, but is feeling overshadowed by the presence of his father. And so it goes back to, we have come to this world to make choices. Now, actually, I wanted to just kind of like back up just a little bit. You had mentioned a couple of times that we are here to reveal God in the world, but that's not why we're here. We're here to be ourselves. Mm. And to be ourselves is to be a part of God. And what part of God are we? We're the part of God that can choose good, that can choose love over hate, that can choose peace over conflict. And that's what we're here. We're not simply a means to God's end. And God wants to be revealed in this world. We're this part of God. And we're here to be ourselves. And who are we? We're that part that can make these choices. We embody that facet of godliness. And so, and therefore, when we feel that free choice is being in some way diminished or compromised or worse, even confiscated, we will fight. We will struggle. We will resent it because it's undermining our ability to be ourselves, which are beings that can make choices and take responsibility and deserve what and earn and deserve what we have and get. And so that's why there were times where there was greater revelation of God, but that didn't necessarily ensure that everybody were good boys and girls. Sometimes it even was counterproductive. And so when we were in the desert, the presence of God overwhelmed the presence of man, overshadowed the presence of man. And then when men and women, when the Jewish people get into the land of Israel, where the presence of God now is less manifest, that enables the presence of man to become more prominent. But now it's almost as the presence of man is overshadowing the presence of God. We want to get to a balance where there is a healthy presence of God that does not undermine man's free choice. And there's an assertiveness of mankind taking responsibility without becoming obsessed about the power and then losing trust in God.
In a sense, my understanding is that's what the Shabbat is. One of the things Shabbat is to help with that balance, is that we're supposed to be like God for 6 days in creative act of work. And yet on the seventh day, we stop because we are not God, as much as we try to be like God, to remind ourselves on a weekly basis, we are not God.
Beautiful. Yes. Shabbat, you could say, is, you know, during the week, the 6 days of the week is make it happen. And Shabbat is let it happen, you know, let God in. Shabbat is that. But there's another understanding of Shabbat, which kind of goes back to what I shared before. Shabbat is a time where we don't do anything, basically. It's not a day that is about accomplishments. And that's to restore to us a sense that the worthiness of our being is not bound up with accomplishments. In other words, what makes it holy is that we're not here to be a function of something else. And it goes back to what we mentioned before, that we're not here to reveal God's presence in the world, so I'm simply a means to God's end. I am an end. And Shabbat reminds me that during the week, you start working, you start to think that you're a means to some end greater than yourself, but you are an end in itself, just like love. Love is not a means to an end. When love is a means to an end, it's not love, it's business. Love is an end unto itself. And so too, living a life that is dedicated to revealing God's presence in the world is not living a life which is a means to God's purpose. It's living a life which is the end. The end is, this is who I am. And I'm just being myself. I'm not simply being used and simply a vehicle. I'm just being myself. I'm doing my thing.
It is pretty amazing, because it sounds like actually by living the life of Torah and mitzvot and following the attributes of God actually enables me to be more of who I am. And when I'm not living according to those principles, then as much as I think I'm free to do whatever I want, but I'm actually going further and further away from who I truly am.
Yes. You know, that's why when somebody asks, you know, why live the mitzvot? The answer is that is to be yourself. You know, it'd be like somebody asking me, Rabbi Aaron, why do you teach? Because I'm a teacher. It's just who I am in my soul. And so I'm just being myself. And there's nobody in the world that doesn't want to really embrace and enable their light to shine and just be you. And so Torah is saying that that the commandments is enabling you to be you. And who are you? You're a part of God. What part of God are you? You're the part of God that can choose good over evil, kindness over cruelty, love over hate, peace over conflict. That's who you are. And just do your thing, not as a means to somebody else's end, but as basically your end. We love because we are lovers. And that's why we love. We're not trying to get anything out of it. We're just trying to be who we are in it.
That's very powerful. Going back to something you said a bit earlier, I'm thinking about this. I was saying earlier in history that there was more revelation of God. And you pointed out, very interestingly so, is that that didn't necessarily mean we lived our lives with more clarity of God. If anything, there were a lot of rebellions, a lot of complaining, etc. And it's very powerful what you're saying, because sometimes in my own life, I think, you know, I'm in a quandary here. I'm not sure what to do. What's right? If only I could just get total clarity on what is right. You know, this Hester punning, this not getting a clear sense of what God wants for me is so challenging. Then I would be able to do the right thing. And I think what you're bringing out is not necessarily so. When we had opportunities to really have clarity of what God wants from us, we still rebelled and we still complained and we still weren't necessarily aligning ourselves with this, living our lives in order with the ability to reveal God. So in a sense, it's not just this that it goes back to what you said earlier in the first segment, is that to some degree, we actually do have more opportunity when God is more hidden to connect to him in a way that we wouldn't necessarily be able to connect if he was present, because as you said, his presence is almost too overwhelming for us to then feel like we have our free choice to be able to make the choice to connect.
Look, it's like love. When do we demonstrate to our children or to our spouses true love? When we have no reason not to love them, or when we have good reasons to not love them, but we love them anyways? You know, if my son is driving me crazy, and yet I am able to stay patient and calm and show him tremendous love, well, then that's an incredible demonstration of love. So when things are going well, why shouldn't I be nice to people? So is that niceness the greatest, most potent manifestation of niceness? No. And so I remember many years ago I was invited to speak after I think it was called Hurricane Andrew in the Florida area, and the class was in a home that was devastated by the tornado or hurricane, whatever they call it. And so before, you know, and kind of the class was when bad things happen to good people kind of thing. So before I began my talk, I said, well, you know, you are survivors of this tragic event, and tell me about it. And I was shocked how people said it was amazing. I mean, as much as we lost so much in terms of much of our material, but we gained so much spiritually, because it's created this environment where the best of people came out and were there for each other.
That really is almost counterintuitive, but it's real experience of recognizing when there is resistance, there actually is the power of connection, the power, as you're saying, of true love, the power of really feeling connected to God almost can't be revealed, or can be revealed all the more so when there is a time of challenge and resistance. When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Soul Talk, Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron. Understanding the times we live in where God's presence often feels so hidden, not clear. And it sometimes feels like, where is God in the midst of everything that's happening? And yet, ironically enough, what you're explaining, Rabbi, is that it's actually in the midst of God, so to speak, being hidden, that actually there's more potential for him to be revealed when we make choices to reveal him by the way we're living our lives, through doing mitzvot, through living with attributes that reveal God in this world. And it was actually making me wonder, in terms of, for most mitzvot, there isn't a concept of that, you know, one is more important than the other. But I think sometimes even in our own lives, there's times where, let's say, okay, an act of charity, as we were saying, sometimes it comes very easy. And I'm sure that does good and that reveals God in the world. But is the level of revelation to some degree dependent on how challenging it is for me to do the act? Meaning, two people can give charity, but for one person, they didn't even think about it. For another, they really, you know, had tremendous resistance that kept saying, no, you don't need to. Why should you? You don't have enough. That on and on and on. And finally say, you know what? But this is, I want to do this. This is, I'm going to do it. And it was difficult. Would we say that that action actually has more potential to reveal godliness because there was more resistance towards doing it?
Yes. In fact, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov said that when it comes to charity, it's not how much you give, but how much you have left over in your pocket. So you could have a billionaire and he just made a donation of $1 million. But then you have this other guy who's really trying to make ends meet and he makes a donation of $10. Who actually did the greater act of kindness? The man who's got his name on the building, he gave $1 million, but he gave $1 million for him. That's like not even a penny. And for this other fellow, giving that $10 for him was $1 million. So it really is relative to where you're at and what the challenge was.
So in a sense, though, I think so often we, at least I'd say for myself, I'm happier when things are easier for me, even when it comes to doing the right thing. It's hard, I almost feel like I don't want, I want to be the kind of person almost that's refined enough to that doing the right thing, so to speak, comes easier. And sometimes I almost can be hard on myself of, why was that so difficult? It was the right thing to do. So why was there such resistance? And yet at the same time, it sounds like we're saying here that the more resistance we have to doing something good and right actually has the more power potential for revelation of God. So in a sense, the more we face the times that we somewhat have resistance, if anything, those are the times to really put our energy into, because there's more potential for revelation.
Right. Two things. I just wanted to kind of back up again, because you keep using the word revelation of God.
Okay.
And it still sounds like I'm a means to God's end. I would say a revelation of myself, which is a part of God, which would also be a revelation of God. But I think that's very important, that when a person makes a choice, they're not just doing it for God. They are literally actualizing who they are as a part of God. And of course, there's greater revelation of God, and that goes hand in hand with a greater revelation of yourself. But I think often when people hear this kind of language, it sounds like, you know, I'm putting myself second to God and I'm diminishing myself for God's sake. And there is no diminishment at all. When a person does a command, it's not a demand, it's not diminishing us. It's rather a life enhancement. I'm being myself as this part of God. And it does say that the greater the person, the greater the yetzahara. And often we think their urge to not do. We often think that a great person has no resistance. But the Talmud actually says the opposite. The greater the person, the greater their resistance. Now, does that mean, you know, because I have a big yetzahara, I must be a big righteous man, and some of the great, you know, Torah sages of a generation? No, it's relative. In other words, it could be the yetzahara of this great rabbi is that he didn't say his blessing with intention. I don't know what his yetzahara is, I call it anti-self. We have this urge to go against ourselves. But going against yourself is relative to who you are. And so you can't compare people's, you know, challenge. We don't know. Another person, their challenge might be to pray with greater intention. And that's a big challenge for them. Me, that's not even my challenge, because I'm not even up to that yet. I've got other challenges. So, yes, it's true that a person should just know that when there's resistance in their life, when they themselves are struggling with inner conflict, when they're not in their comfort zone, that's not a sign that things are not right. It could be a sign that things are very right, and what's being set up here is for you to maximize yourself and be more godly and bring more godliness in the world. And that's the point, to be more godly and to bring more godliness into the world.
Hmm. You know, we talk about revelation of myself, and I so appreciate your clarifying that very, really, really important point. It is so interesting because I think we've all had experiences where we're in a situation that's very tough and very demanding and very difficult that we maybe never would have chosen for ourselves. And we find certain parts of ourselves developing that didn't even know were there. We get acquainted with parts of ourselves we didn't know about, and we strengthen certain parts of who we are through those challenges. And so as you were saying with the families who went through that hurricane, is I don't think anyone ahead of time would say, I want to go through some major challenge to bring out the better parts of me. But at the same time, once something already happened and we see the results, if we made certain choices along the way, that instead of running away and trying to resist, but recognize, you know what, this is an opportunity for me to definitely grow, that we find ourselves within the challenge and we find a part of ourselves we wouldn't have even known had we not gone through it.
Right. I heard a great line from a comedian that I probably quoted before, because I think it's really cute. He said, you know, I started going to a gym, but I stopped because they kept asking me to pick up heavy things. Hmm. You know, it's like, why do you go to gym? You know, if you're going to gym and you want to sit there in the air conditioning and drink from the cooler, what are you doing in a gym? If you want to build muscles, then you're intentionally putting yourself in an environment that is asking of you to work hard and to afflict pain. I mean, you know, and the bodybuilder in the morning feels a great joy in the pain that he feels in his muscles. The next morning, the ache in his muscles is a sign that I'm working out and I'm building muscles. And he takes pleasure in that pain, which is strange, right? And so it's a high level to get to that in terms of building our spiritual muscles. But to just know that to build spiritual muscles, you are going to have to be in a situation where there is resistance. There's something pressing on you and you're pressing back. And that's what builds all kinds of muscles, mental, spiritual, physical. But it's not, you know, lying on the beach and drinking pina coladas that builds and brings out the greatness of people. Not that I'm saying that we shouldn't take that opportunity once in a while, too. But that's to give us take a few steps back so we can then take more steps forward.
And in a sense, it sounds like we're first, what I was asking about, Hester Panim, God's hiddenness. We feel God's hiddenness, we'll say, when things aren't going so well, when there's resistance and challenge in our life. And yet it sounds what we're understanding here now, or what I'm understanding, is that it's actually in those times of resistance and challenge that we can actually have an even greater sense and connection to God, as you're saying, revelation of myself, of who I am, but also my connection to God can become even stronger than it would necessarily in a time where things are going well and the positivity and the goodness of God is very clearly revealed.
I mean, really, when you go into the biographies of some of the people that made the greatest difference in the world, rarely did they have a life that was a merry-go-round. They often had very tragic situations as children, but rarely do you meet greatness that emerge out of comfort.
And yet at the same time, it sounds like if we recognize, as we're saying, sometimes we don't choose to go to the gym, but the gym is brought to us. We have challenges that are sent to us. But at the same time, there is this consciousness of, you know, I want to build muscle. I want to build spiritual muscle. So we don't necessarily want to take painful challenges upon ourselves, but even challenges of being better, more goodness, doing more acts of kindness that are out of my comfort zone is a way to almost choose to build that muscle instead of sort of saying, I just want to sit comfortably for all of my life drinking the pina colada on the beach. And God will say, well, that's not what you're here for. So I have to send you a little bit of a challenge here. But there is this aspect sometimes of choosing to be better and to bring more greatness out of ourselves that can also accomplish that goal.
Right. Well, if you're completely comfortable, then it's very unlikely that you're growing at all. If you're completely, unbelievably uncomfortable and you're devastated, you might not be able to grow. So it's a balance, and Judaism claims that God will not give you a test that you cannot cope with and turn into an opportunity. And so, but it is living, you know, not completely out of our comfort zone to the point that we are incredibly stressed, but not living in our comfort zone, you know, all the time, because that means you're not growing.
What I think is very powerful, and at least a total mental change for myself, and I'd imagine many others listening, is that the way we think about the stressors and the challenges in our life is so important. If we see it as just something to aggravate me, then I stay in an aggravated mode. If I recognize, you know what, this is a challenge and it's giving me an opportunity to work on my patience, even the day-to-day things, they're just aggravations, the traffic, the kids, you know, not cooperating, the person who shows up late. I mean, all these kinds of day-to-day aggravations, we can just see them as aggravations or recognize, you know what, these are opportunities for growth, for me to work on my patience, for me to work on my understanding, for me to work on judging favorably. There's all these opportunities, and it takes what could be just a negative experience into a total growth experience.
That's right. It's important to appreciate that whatever situation we're in is always an opportunity to allow for the greater me to be manifest, to be actualized. And when a person takes that attitude, then that attitude will enable them to not only move forward, but to fly and soar.
I want to thank you all for joining us. Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Morris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.